Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. Brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss. They are the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop.
Hi.
And Johnny Cake Sawville.
At Money Metal Cakes on Twitter.
By the way, it's supposed to be 72 degrees on Thursday.
Good. Ooh. I mean, it's almost April. Can we get some heat already?
I think I might have to get around a gaff in.
I think you probably will.
On Thursday.
Isn't it supposed to rain Thursday, though?
Showers? I didn't see that.
I thought they're calling for showers.
Yeah.
Possible. Now it might change.
Yeah, possible showers. I can deal with that. Showers is not a big deal.
Yeah.
All day rain's a big deal.
Sure.
Showers is not.
It's been some time since you've had the clubs, which are all one length.
Yeah, I got the one length.
Has it transformed your game? Have you improved dramatically? Dude, or are you about the same?
I'm an 8.6 index. I don't remember what I was. I was probably like a 10 index when I had the old clubs. I don't know. It just all depends on how much you play. You got to play. And you got to practice your short game because that's where you score.
Is it strange at first to use the one length clubs?
It took me like 10 rounds to get used to it, 10 to 12 rounds.
But now you have the energy.
It's got it down.
I got the 5-hour energy. And now it's time for the 5-hour energy coaches hotline brought to you by 5-hour energy. It's our good friend John Rothstein from CBS Sports, college hoops analyst, who does have a podcast, and I no longer have a podcast.
Hold on. Wait a second. John gets on the coaches hotline. Yep. Is he a coach?
No, he's on the coaches.
It's a little bit of a loophole.
He covers a lot of them.
That's true.
He does.
And we'll let him slide.
John, what's up, buddy?
Guys, good to be with you as always. How you doing?
How are
John,
you, sir?
Good morning.
How are you?
All good, man. All good. Just three games left in the season. Amazing how fast it goes, right?
What do you do after the season? Because you grind it for a good 5 months, right? So you're covering it. I'm sure you're traveling a lot. You're doing the studio show. What do you do after the season?
Is there a vacay looming after next weekend?
I feel like in my business, guys, you're never really working. You're never really off. But it's something, obviously, that, you know, you want to continue to keep tabs on. And, you know, I think there's always news to cover, whether it's kids going, you know, to the NBA draft, or it's transfers, or it's team scheduling games for next season. But you definitely feel much more like a regular person once you get through the Final Four. There's no doubt about that, fellas.
So that means you've got no vacation planned.
I'm going away in May with my girlfriend. We have a couple of stops planned in May, one in Florida, one in L.A., but, you know, I'm still going to be working, right? But what I do is not like work to me. It's kind of like your job.
I got you.
John,
our job's work, believe me.
We'll dive into the Final Four in just a second, but I was looking at Ken Palm's Twitter, and he has his computer rankings, his top 10 for 2019, uh-huh. And right outside of the top 10 at 11, he has Maryland. Why do you think he has Maryland ranked so high in his computer rankings for the next season?
And that one's assuming everybody who's probably going to go pro goes pro.
Correct.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm in a situation where I'm working on my top 25 for next week as well, guys. And, you know, I have Maryland in a similar type of scenario. Just, I mean, I think, you know, anytime you have the opportunity to have returning guards come back, you're in a situation where you have a chance to be really, really good. And Maryland has that, obviously, with Cowan and Herter. They're going to add a very talented recruiting class. And I think, you know, another year of seasoning for Bruno Fernando will do wonders for this team up front. So, no, I expect Maryland to be a top 15 team next year.
Do you think Justin Jackson goes or stays?
That's to be determined. I would hope for his sake that he would come back and continue to work on his game, just because, you know, I think there's so much he can do, and you could obviously see that he was a much better player when he was healthy as a freshman versus last year. But I think that's something that's definitely something up in the air right now.
All right, we're going to go backwards here. We're going to start with the last game yesterday, the Duke-Kansas game, then we'll work backwards to the Loyola game and get your thoughts on all of them. First of all, before we talk about the game, how many of the Duke kids, the freshmen, how many declare, in your opinion? All four?
I think all four will declare.
Okay, and they got the top three kids coming in next year.
I wrote this you know, today in my column, which I just posted on Twitter about 10 minutes ago, you know, the biggest thing that I took away from the Duke loss yesterday was the scenario, you know, in when you have primarily one and dones, it's very difficult to win a national championship. And I think, you know, people could say, well, Kentucky did it in 2012 and Duke did it in 2015. In 2012, Kentucky had three players on its team, Darius Miller, Deron Lamb, and Terrence Jones, who were a part of a team the year before that went to a Final Four. Right. They had real veteran experience. In 2015, Duke had three veterans, Quinn Cook, Matt Jones, and Emile Jefferson, that were all instrumental in helping them win in the NCAA tournament. Quinn Cook was sensational that year in a dual point guard role with Tyus Jones. And obviously Matt Jones was key in the Elite Eight win over Gonzaga. And Emile Jefferson, you know, Mike Krzyzewski told me, was critical defensively against Frank Kaminsky in the national championship game.
Now, Wendell Carter, he was bad yesterday. He got in foul trouble. By the way, the foul call that ejected him was just an awful call. That's a clear charge. That's a bad job by that ref. But he was gone. He had two boards in the game in 22 minutes. Certainly didn't help them. But the fact that they got out-rebounded by 15 killed him. I get it. If you're playing a zone, you might get out-rebounded, but you shouldn't be out-rebounded by 15. And then give me your thoughts on the final play after Mykhailiuk hits the three to tie it. Kay decides not to call the TO. I just thought it was a bad shot. I thought they could have got a better shot than that, but he went with the senior. Give me your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that, you know, it was a good look, and obviously it went around the rim a bunch of times. I just thought that, you know, Kansas's half-court offense against the zone, especially down the stretch in an overtime, was sensational. You know, Bill Self, everybody knows, is one of the best offensive coaches in college basketball. He reiterated that sentiment because of what he showed yesterday. I thought, you know, it was a tremendous, tremendous performance by Bill Self, you know, in a big stage, in a stage that's really, you know, been difficult for Kansas to get past the last couple of years. Everybody knows the last two Elite Eights, Kansas lost to Villanova in 2016 and also lost to Oregon a year ago.
Mm-hmm. But your thoughts on how Duke played offensively? Grayson Allen was not good. Carter obviously was not good. Bagley only took nine shots.
I thought the game plan by Kansas was sensational, and I thought that, you know, Kansas did a great job forcing Trayvon Duval to be in situations that he wasn't comfortable in, and that was again illustrated by what we saw in that last play by putting Duval in a situation where he had to make a three to tie the game. That is not vintage Trayvon Duval. Another tremendous, tremendous tip of the cap to himself.
All right.
Joined by John Rothstein, CBS Sports College Hoops Analyst. So how do you see the matchup against Villanova, who's impressed throughout the tournament and really all season long?
You know, you have two blue bloods right here. I think Villanova officially became a blue blood when it won this game and advanced to their third Final Four in 10 years and second in the last three seasons. I look right now, and I give Villanova a slight edge because of their length and athleticism. You know, Kansas really struggled this year against teams like Oklahoma State when they had to deal with length and athleticism. Villanova is a little bit longer on the wing. I think it's a 50-50 game. I'm going to give an edge to Villanova. I'm liking Villanova and Michigan to be in the national title game.
You know, Michigan, we were talking about this before, so everybody's talking about Loyola Chicago. Amazing story there, 11 seed. But Michigan has actually had the easier road to the Final Four just based on the seeding. The highest seed that they've faced is the 6 in Houston, where they won at the buzzer.
Correct. No, it's amazing that, you know, you look at Michigan and what they've been in terms of their situation. They were finished against Houston if Devin Davis makes two free throws, and that's really what makes the NCAA tournament so special, so unpredictable. And, you know, Jordan Poole, who made that shot to beat Michigan, you know, really wasn't a factor at all against Ohio State in the regional final. It's amazing how that works out.
Yeah, and you know what? At the time, we were criticizing Houston's strategy, not putting somebody on the inbounds passer. But what I'd say is, if you had Jordan Poole take that shot with no defenders 10 times, he probably hits half of them. I mean, that was a tough shot, and it was defended.
Agreed. No question. But that is what, you know, makes March Madness so special. Unexpected players coming up with amazing moments.
John, does Bill Self need to win another national title to cement his legacy? He's got one championship. This is his third trip to the Final Four. Does he need to cement it with another win in San Antonio?
No, I don't think at all, guys. You know, I think, you know, when you're talking about what Bill Self and Jay Wright have at stake right here, you're talking about a scenario where they can join an elite company. I mean, think about the coaches that have won two or more national championships. You know, Billy Donovan, Mike Krzyzewski, Jim Calhoun, Rick Pitino. You join a different type of class, and that's what's on the line for these guys this week.
So Loyola Chicago is obviously the story. They've been shooting the lights out. They shoot 58% in the Kansas State win. Now they're going to face Michigan, a grizzled team, that's got some experience, great coach. They can shoot the three. They don't turn the ball over. Do you feel like Loyola Chicago's run ends here, or do you think they get by Michigan to play for it all?
I like Michigan in this game because of Mo Wagner. I think Mo Wagner will be too much here for Loyola.
Mm-hmm. And then Michigan against who?
Villanova. I'm going to take Michigan against Villanova, and I've got Villanova moving on.
Hmm.
Well, moving on, it would be done. They win it.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, just quickly looking through the NBA draft, give me your projections here in the top three or four.
I'm not going to get into the NBA draft after the NCAA tournament, guys. I feel like that's, unfair to the kids that are still playing. I've always believed that. I would be shocked, though, if Ayton wasn't the first overall pick. It's ironic because in a year where Arizona could have the first overall pick, they didn't even win a game in the field.
All right, so you still feel like the four kids at Duke are going pro?
That's what I feel. I mean, for sure, Duval and Bagley and Carter.
Yeah.
And I think, when you look at, obviously, Gary Trent, I don't obviously know yet because I'm not in full NBA draft mode if Gary Trent is in position to be, a late lottery pick. But he's in a scenario right now where Duke is in position to obviously reload behind him. If anybody comes back, it would be Gary Trent, but I would expect him to be clear.
By the way, getting back to the Florida State-Michigan game and the post game, you've seen it with Dana Jacobson. Can you explain exactly what Coach Hamilton said? Because I can't decipher any of it. I didn't understand one thing he said.
Coach Hamilton was obviously frustrated with the end of the game and, was obviously frustrated with, losing out on an opportunity to play in a Final Four. And I thought, Dana was a colleague of mine, and I tell people all the time, as the most talented person at CBS Sports, handled it like a vintage pro. And I think, Coach Hamilton's statement on Sunday, reiterated, the type of person that he is. And I thought it illustrated, too, in a difficult situation, how strong Dana Jacobson was. There's not a lot of people in that situation who could be as poised on the air as Dana was.
Very awkward. And I understand that Hamilton was upset at the loss, but was he confused? He was confused at the questions.
Yeah, I mean, I think, both sides obviously handled it well in the long term. Coach Hamilton sent out a statement, and again, Dana was tremendous on the air.
Hey, John, we're a couple of weeks removed from the biggest upset in the tournament, which was UMBC knocking off the number one overall seed at UVA. And at the time, we were talking about, why isn't UVA getting over the hump, getting into the Final Four? And I kind of want your thoughts as you reflect on it. I will tell you that personally, I know Seth Davis afterwards tweeted out a couple things, and I agreed with him that, people used to say Coach K couldn't win a national championship until he did. People would say Phil Mickelson couldn't win a major until he did. I believe it's a matter of time that maybe it was just bad luck, but maybe you differ.
The way I look at it, guys, right now is this, and I think, Tony Bennett, and people know how I feel about Virginia basketball, is, one of the best, if not the best coach in the country. Here's what you have to look at. Virginia was a different team without DeAndre Hunter. So that was obviously something that was working against them from the start. Another thing that I think is really important to point out is that, regardless of how many Final Fours Tony coaches in, or regardless of how many national titles he wins, this is now part of his legacy.
Yeah.
He was the head coach of the number one seed who lost for the first time to a 16 seed. So I am a huge, huge advocate for that program, and I think I was, one of the first people nationally who talked about how beautiful Virginia basketball was to watch, and it is. Look at the results that they've had. But this right now, moving forward, is part of the legacy of that program, being associated with being the first one seed to lose to a 16.
All right. Have fun in Florida and L.A., bud. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys. Have a great Monday.
Yep.
Mondays are never great. I mean, the fact that we're alive is great, but
that
Mondays
is,
are never
that,
great.
That's a pretty good.
They are better.
We're breathing.
They are better with five-hour energy.
And we got to thank John for checking in on the five-hour energy coaches hotline. There have been some great moments so far in the March College Tournament. That's the March College Tournament.
Yes, correct.
One great shot deserves another. Grab a five-hour energy and get back to 100%.
It can still be the coach's hotline without a coach, Cakes.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, though. This guy, he's not a coach last time I checked.
John was a little snippy.
Maybe I'm being persnickety.
Some
maybe
short,
I upset
short
him.
Answers. What was up with
he's
that?
Probably done 500 interviews this week.
All right. Well, maybe next time we get someone else other than John.
Is his brain maybe in Florida and L.A. already?
Maybe. But
I thought he was good. Which particular question do you think he was snippy on?
You thought
the draft? Jason didn't like his draft.
The draft. He said he doesn't want to talk NBA draft. But then I asked him to break down the.
Well, that's like his policy. Maybe
the Loyola Chicago Michigan game, and he gave me Mo Wagner's a difference.
Well, I'd like to, Joan. He said before you asked the question, who do you like in a particular game? He said that he liked Villanova to win it all over Michigan, and then you said, who do you think wins, Michigan or Loyola Chicago?
Okay,
but just giving you Michigan.
All right, but I mean, we got like 6 minutes left in the interview. He's got to, you know, expand a little bit on it.
I know. I'm just saying that he gave the winner, and then you pulled a Bickle. Then you asked him, who do you think's going to win?
Maybe he's just fatigued from seeing Sister Jean all over the place.
Maybe that's what it is.
Sister Jean. Cake's like Sister Christian better than Sister
well,
Jean.
Wow, it's or so Twisted much Sister. Better. Twisted yeah. Sister is so much better. Are you kidding?
No, that's a good missing link. Twisted blank blank jeans.
Yeah, I'm sure whatever. People aren't going to get that. Are you kidding?
All right.
Yeah, you know what? I'm kind of fatigued about the old nun, too.
The old nun.
That's what she is, right? She's an old nun.
Yes.
Yeah, but you had a good conversation with her on your flight back from West Palm Beach, didn't you?
See, now you're joning. Now you're grumpy. She's a very nice lady.
That wasn't Sister Jean?
She was not Sister Jean, but she did have a flip phone.
Are you sure?
Which I haven't seen one of those in person in quite a while.
All right. Okay.
I mean, you asked me if she saw Ty Cobb play in person.
That's a good one.
Didn't make me laugh.
But wasn't she on her laptop, too? She actually was tech savvy, typing away the whole time?
No, you're getting the people mixed up.
Oh, sorry.
The woman on my right, older woman, flip phone. Woman to my left, younger than your boy Flakes, was coding faster than Zuckerberg before he started Facebook. I think I've used that joke twice
in the
span of like 5 days.
Yeah.
I might have to retire.
Did you actually chuckle when I sent you the text? Were you chuckling?
Yes. I chuckled and I thought, you're a monster. But I chuckled at it at the same time, which means I'm a monster too.
Do you know that one of Trump's lawyers is actually Ty Cobb?
I do know that. Yes, I do know that.
All right. Phone number is 800-636-1067 with the Junkies. Coming right back.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. You know, early in the show mentioned that over the weekend, I went to this bachelor party, and it was at MGM National Harbor, and then went over to DC Improv. I need to thank Allison for setting us up in a nice spot. Got to see Jim Norton, which was fantastic at DC Improv.
Little Jimmy Norton.
Norton was great on our show. It was unbelievable. I mean, he can't do any of the material that he does in his act
Almost none of it.
But he was great. But one thing that jumped out at me at this bachelor party, so I didn't know many of the guys. I'd met a couple of them beforehand. One of my good friends, Eric, set up the bachelor party.
Eric!
And he is a gamer. I'm not a gamer.
Mm-hmm.
He is a 36, 37-year-old guy who's a gamer.
Okay.
I used to be a gamer.
He used to be a guy who used to play a game called Overwatch.
Right.
But now it jumps out at me. We've talked about it. Everybody is playing Fortnite.
Everyone.
Right? So I always find it odd that my son stumbled onto this game through my nephew, who is 12. My son is 11, and my nephew introduced it to my son, and my son now plays Fortnite. I think you mentioned that your son plays
Fortnite. What exactly is Fortnite?
It's a shoot-'em-up game. You kill people, or you hide, and you play against 100 people, and you get placed. So it's actually a pretty quick game, I think, generally speaking.
Yeah.
But you can also do it with teams. But this is what struck me. And people can chime in about how big gaming is.
A lot of NBAers get sized to play Fortnite.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. So I get there, and some of the guys are hanging out before dinner at Voltaggio Brothers MGM National Harbor, right? They're at the lobby bar because Tap was so packed.
Right.
That
couldn't get in.
Couldn't really get in, couldn't find a seat. So there's like a lounge at MGM National Harbor close to where you check in.
Of course, the lot. Yeah,
and they have TVs, so you have the games on there, yep. But it's less crowded, right? And there's an area there where there are a bunch of really nice seats, and everybody's kind of just chilling there. I go and get a beer at the bar, sit down. And three of the guys there, they play Fortnite together.
Okay.
As teammates, like they're each in their own homes. And I know some people, it's probably driving them nuts who are gamers. But to me, it's so foreign that these are guys a little bit younger than us.
You're that nerd.
I'm 47, so I'm like the old guy there.
Yeah.
Everybody's kind of in their mid to upper 30s, I would say. And there are a bunch of guys who play hours upon hours of Fortnite as teams. And they're playing against 11-year-olds.
They're addicted to it.
They are. They can't get away from it.
Yeah. But that's the thing.
Do they have kids?
Some of them are married and have kids.
Wow. I mean, and they dedicate hours to playing Fortnite.
Again, I'm there for a bachelor party.
Yeah.
I didn't ask each of them, do you have kids? Do you have kids? I mean, by the end of the night, I learned some of them have kids. But I just looked online. And the reason I brought this up is we talk about the movies all the time. The gaming industry has eclipsed the film industry.
Oh, I know. It makes tons and tons of money.
I want to say it was $36 billion
that I just saw
in this article.
Yeah, and there's a lot of adult gamers.
Should we start playing games like we did back then? Should we become
gamers? No, we should develop one.
800-636-1067.
Yeah, you
saw what Kurt Schilling's company did, right?
You come up with one and just give me a piece of it.
I'm going to come up with a game.
Yeah, give me a piece of the profit.
Yeah, I'm sure I have the capability to do that.
I was addicted to Tecmo Bowl. Addicted to
that's so long ago.
I know.
Such a
I'm just trying to put myself in their suit. I mean, these people are obviously addicted to it, and that's probably all they think about.
I will say it's kind of cool that.
But
nowadays,
when I was in college, I would just come home from class.
Right.
Just bogus classes.
Right.
We'll come over class, and I would play Tecmo Bowl for hours.
And drink, probably, while you're playing Tecmo Bowl.
Cocktails.
Sure. Just, but you were playing against the computer, or you were playing against your roommate. Like,
right,
I will
right,
say
right.
The kind of cool thing
obviously
about
it was different
now
in the early 90s.
Is that you can play. You could play Cakes tonight if you wanted to. If you both had Xbox or you had PS4, and you say, Cakes, let's play. You could play him. He's at his house in Olney. You're in Ashburn.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, but
I get it.
I watch my son play Fortnite, and I look at it, and I'm like, I have no real desire to play. Now, I think what threw me on it originally was playing it on his PC in his room. And PC gaming is butt hard because you have to you have to utilize the keys with one hand and then do whatever with your other hand. It's too hard.
Why is that game so good?
I need a controller.
Cakes, we're driving from MGM National Harbor to the DCM Prov in an Uber.
Right.
And one of the guys was looking at his phone. I was like, what is he looking at?
You're that nerd.
He was looking at, I guess, a YouTuber who was playing Fortnite.
Right.
Like, there are guys making millions right now. Of people watching them play games.
I know, it's crazy.
Think about that. Yeah. Think about if you were like playing Tecmo back in the day with a camera watching you play Tecmo, and then people are twitching, paying money, leaving you money.
My son told
to play
me
your game.
That I think the guy's name is Ninja.
Ninja's the best.
He played with like Drake. It broke all the records for Twitch, and I think he has like 200,000 plus people paying him $5 a month.
It's incredible.
To watch him play video games.
Dude, that guy Ninja, I saw.
That guy's a genius.
I think he had 700,000 people that watch him play a game. 700,000. That's a decent rating on TV for sporting events. He's crushing sporting events.
I kind of sleep on the esports gaming leagues. Those are blowing up too.
Yeah.
Ted Leonsis is invested. A lot of the NBA owners have esports gaming leagues. Yeah. They're investing in. I feel like I'm missing the boat.
Oh, I just...
It's blowing up, Jason.
I know it's blowing up. Believe me, my daughters will go on YouTube, and they'll watch these little teenagers from all over the country walk around their bedrooms, show them what's in their bedroom, show them the clothes they have, they'll open up the drawers.
Right.
This is, I just got this from Nordstrom, wherever.
Right. Yeah.
And then they'll put makeup on.
Yeah,
they'll do makeup
tutorials are huge.
Yeah, and my daughters watch that. They love it. And those kids are getting paid.
It's their thing.
Yeah, they're getting paid. They're like 16, 17
years old.
You need
to get your daughters in on that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a... I remember my son was
country.
A few years ago, I forget. It was... I think it was just football cards. And he would watch videos of guys like opening packs of cards.
Yeah, like unboxing toys.
Exactly.
Like guys who are unboxing toys are making six figures, if not seven figures, on YouTube. We're missing the boat.
We are missing.
What are we doing? Why are we wasting our time doing this?
All we got is a stupid YouTube channel that A-Watch posts videos to.
Man,
we don't make any money from that.
It's dumb.
But what is it? Why is Fortnite so popular?
I don't know.
That an 11-year-old kid, or your son's 13, 14?
My son is 13.
13-year-old kid is playing the same game that 40-year-olds are playing.
I know.
It's unbelievable.
I've got one on the line right here. Let's go to Tim in Leesburg. What's up, Tim? You're on with the Junks.
Hey, what's going on, Junks? I was just listening to the conversation, and I was telling the producer, I'm a 36-year-old professional, full-time working professional, served in the military, vet. I've got a seven-month-old baby, and I play about an hour and a half a night.
Wow.
Fortnite, Destiny, The Division, Call of Duty, Battlefield, it doesn't matter.
Why is Fortnite so popular?
Yeah, what is it about
Fortnite?
Fortnite
has taken over the last couple months.
Fortnite's ultra popular because it's like a level playing field type of game. It's addictive, right? So you get in this, it's a 100-player battle royale, and you sort of have to forage for weapons, items, stuff like that to attack and defend other players, defend yourself. And it's just an addictive type of gameplay. And you've got cats that spend hours at a time playing that game. Myself, I'm not. I play it every now and again. Again, I'm more into other games, but it's definitely ultra popular.
Is Fortnite the video game version of Walking Dead?
Not in the sense that they have a version of that where there's like this, zombie, type. It's a PVE player versus environment, type game where you sort of play against the computer, and that's a variant. But the most popular variant is the player versus player, 100 person battle royale.
It's kill or be killed.
No, I get it, but isn't Fortnite isn't Fortnite about the planet? Because, and aren't you battling a bunch of zombies?
I don't think so.
Yeah, no. That's one. That's a different game type. It's a part of that game. Yeah,
it's
a different game type though. Yeah,
I got you.
Thank you, Tim.
It's very cartoony.
Yes.
One of the best things about the game is that the reason it's so addicting, as soon as you die, whenever you play these huge online games, usually you have to wait in the lobby for the game to be over. But in this version, as soon as you die, you just go back and immediately, within seconds, you're in another game.
That's
so
your silly respawn.
Hold on. So are you playing it?
I've played it, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Now, for me, I'm not addicted to it as some of the other people. I'd rather play some of the, you know, sporting games. But
right. Watched videos of other people playing to learn strategy?
Well, I watch videos to like learn what the game was about.
That's a yes.
But
it's a phenomenon. I just can't relate
to it. The average video game player is 35 years old.
I understand that.
You know, so it's not like so bizarre that your 38-year-old friends are playing Fortnite.
Valdez.
It's the most popular game in the average age of a game.
The thing that's strange to me is not that they're playing it. It's just strange to me the dichotomy of like, I got a 37-year-old buddy who's playing the same game that my 11-year-old's playing.
That just means a massive hit. If it's
Valdez,
spamming.
How much would I have to pay you to play Fortnite for a week?
I'd rather play four putt on aerated greens.
Yeah. I mean, I don't get it.
Let's go to Dave in Fairfax.
I've never played it.
On line one,
but
Dave.
You would play sports games.
Yeah. Hey guys.
What's up, Dave?
Jason.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. It drives me crazy. My son, about 6 months ago, he said he wanted to be a professional lacrosse player, and I said, "Well, we really need to start practicing."
Right.
But
yeah, good advice.
Recently, he's come to me and said that his goal in life is to be a Twitch game streamer, and I'm like, I don't even know what that means, but you know, he was telling me about this ninja guy and how he's monetized this, and we're just doomed.
But there are all these guys. I don't know how you become the hit, but like, my son's big into Madden videos, right? He plays Madden, whether it's mobile Madden or on Xbox, is what he has. But I know he's watched this guy RBT or RVT a million times, and it's just the dude talking about playing Madden. Jason,
I take the game away from him, right? I'm like, okay, you could only play. So after like, you know, 2 hours or whatever, it's like, you've got enough, right? So I'll try to get him outside and do something. And then invariably, he'll sneak back to his laptop, and you guys nailed it. Then he's watching people actually playing video games.
It's unbelievable.
It's just, it blows my mind. I'm going to have a coronary. I feel like Bickle.
Thank you, Dave.
I don't know. I don't get it. I mean,
Fortnite, more popular than the Final Four?
Yep.
Maybe should rename it Final Fortnite.
Let's go to Brian.
Maybe pay attention.
Yeah, all the kids
Didn't one of the kids from UMBC, when they beat UVA,
yeah,
they said, what does it feel like? You just took down the number one seed. He said it was like getting my first win in Fortnite.
Mm.
Do people covet getting that first W in Fortnite? They just do.
Let's go to Brian in Prince William. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Jones, what's happening?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, yeah, I play it every night, and I haven't got my first dub yet, but I would say that it's way more popular than the Final Four as of right now.
What's the best you've done?
The best gun is
the best AR. You've done. You haven't finished first. Have you finished, like, top five?
Oh, I was third.
Yeah. You get so bitter.
Now, Bish, he asked the previous caller if it was a lot like The Walking Dead, and what I will comp it to is it's very much like The Hunger Games.
Gotcha.
And that's it.
Yeah. It's kill or be killed.
Yeah.
You can actually You can win the game just by hiding, apparently.
Yeah.
Just don't get killed. Let's go to Sean in Frederick. Sean, you're on with the Junkies. Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Junks?
What's up, man?
Hey, I play with my son too, and it is really addictive. It's different from Modern Warfare, where once you get killed, you don't automatically respawn. You have to get back into another game, and then while simultaneously fighting everyone else, the battlefield continually shrinks into a smaller and smaller area over time. So it is highly addicting to want to win that first game. But also, about Ninja, I was watching a video with my son this morning, and he plays randomly duos where kids just get to play with him, and these kids freak out when they get to play with this guy. I mean, he is so good. He is lightning fast, and the kids absolutely love him, and he is bankrolling. As he's playing, they're donating money to him, like, randomly, above and beyond what he's making in advertising, and he is just killing it.
Yeah.
Anyways, thanks, Joe.
We're wasting our time. $5 a month.
Yeah.
And you have $200,000.
Yeah, he's clearing $1 million a month. Mm. Minimum.
Now, right, of course, there's a few people that are making
very
the effect on the kids, seriously. I mean, I know we're talking about adults playing it, but the effect on the kids, not just with watching the video games and playing the video games, but on their phones all the time, is stunning. You should see some of the studies.
No social skills.
No social skills. When they turn their phones off, their brain pretty much shuts down.
They sound like Leonard Hamilton during that interview.
Yeah, a bunch of Leonard Hamiltons. I mean, that's what we're raising.
Right.
You really got to limit. I mean, I try and do it. I try and limit my kids' exposure to the cell phones and the computers.
But daughters aren't as into video games as boys.
True.
Like, if you had a son, odds are that someone would be playing Fortnite, because every boy is right now. And men. And drab. It's a phenomenon.
I can't really decipher the difference between watching YouTube and those stupid videos and playing Fortnite.
True.
I mean, it's all the same to me.
Yep. It's not your thing. You're kind of out on Fortnite.
There's no way it's mentally healthy for you.
Here's the model.
Yes.
And I know we need to get really good at a game.
Wow. Therein lies the rub. That's the hard part.
Then we have the YouTube channel so that people then subscribe to watch us play that game.
That ship has sailed. Our reflexes have been dulled over the years. Yeah. We can't compete with the 13-year-olds.
We suck.
It's over.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. It's a reminder, Cakes and I will be out at Tap Sports Bar on Saturday evening, 5 p.m. for the semifinals viewing party at Tap Sports Bar. There'll be two college basketball games, four teams battling it out, and we're going to be hanging out at Tap Sports Bar, which is an awesome spot. They've got a bajillion TVs, I think over 90 brands of beer on tap.
Hey, Valdez,
those are two games in the March college basketball
tournament. That's correct. Valdez, I need you to map quest how to get to MGM National Harbor for me, please. Can you do that?
What? Sorry.
Can you map quest how to get to MGM National Harbor for me, please?
Right.
I think I know where to go.
I think
I know my spots.
We could blindfold you, and you could get there.
It's actually kind of silly that it's like 10 steps from the, like, you get off the elevator and it's boom, right there.
It's about 50 steps.
You'd have to, you have to determine if you have to take a left or a right off the elevator. Now, but
just take a quick look. It will be difficult for me not to go in to the actual casino to go straight to TAP.
Are you
but gonna, I will do
that. Are you going to win the lucky table drawing at TAP?
Maybe I will. If they have one that transfers over to TAP, I hope that I would get that lucky. Again, luck is the key word. Lucky.
Well, you have it.
Jason has had many nicknames on this show over the years. He's trying to transition from Lurch to Bish.
Yes.
Bish Bucks.
Bish Bucks.
But one don't forget Scorchy Taws.
Yes, one more obscure name, which I know Chad Dukes loves using, is he calls you Jason Bell.
Jason Bell, right.
And that's related to Albert Bell. I can't remember why. I think you liked Albert Bell. You were like the only guy on the planet who liked him.
No, it's because I had him on my fantasy team. He was a fantasy baseball monster back in the day.
Right.
He was just an RBI machine. And I would try and make sure that I had Albert Bell on my team every year, and I would tell everyone about it.
Right. So, to be honest,
for some reason, that's why he called me Jason Bell.
To be honest, I haven't seen the news item about Albert Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Can you fill me in? You just looked at a picture and said,
well,
oh my God,
it's not a positive.
Well, he looks terrible.
Here's
in
the
this
breaking
picture.
News. Albert Bell arrested in Scottsdale during a spring training game. Two counts of indecent exposure. No bueno. One count of DUI. And in parentheses, using liquor, drugs, or the vapors. And one count of extreme DUI, which is a BAC of 0.08 or more. And NBC Sports Washington is putting up the very unflattering picture of one Albert Bell.
So he was just going as
he's only about 50 years old.
He was just
going
as a spectator to the spring training game. Like, he's not on the coaching staff or anything like that.
I mean, would you hire Albert Bell to be on your coaching staff?
I don't think he's been hired by any team.
And I don't think this latest news is going to help his
matters. Isn't he the same guy who chased down some kids who were knocking on his door for Halloween?
I believe
that's right. That sounds right.
I think what happened was the kids, I could be wrong on the story. This is years ago, but I think the kids came up to his door, knocked on his door. He didn't have any candy.
Right.
Where he said, I don't celebrate Halloween. And then the kids came back later, and I don't know, they either toilet papered his house or they threw eggs. They did something. And that's when he chased the kids down. Don't you remember that story?
I do remember it. I don't remember the exact
I could have the details off a little bit.
I'll check it out.
But he's just not a nice, nice person. And he looks like he's 75 years old in that picture.
He looks really old.
He's only 50. He's not much older than us.
He's 51.
He's 51.
Yeah, but how old does he
look in that picture?
He's a peer, basically. He looks like he's
65. Yeah,
yeah.
He looks terrible. But man, he could hit.
All right, let's go to our pal Cowboy Todd checking in. Apparently it's his birthday. He's calling us so that we can wish him happy birthday.
Cowboy, what's up, buddy?
What's happening, fellas?
What's up, Cowboy? Just wanted to remind us.
What do you got going on?
I was calling in about y'all's gaming situation. I just got hooked up on Xbox One and playing Tom Clancy, and that stuff is addicting.
You're playing Tom Clancy?
Well, I think they're
how old is that?
There are newer titles. He's not playing the original Splinter Cell. No chance.
No. This was the Wildlands Ghost Recon, where you play 4-on-4 and you just kill people. It's pretty wild.
Are you addicted to it?
Oh, very addicted. I played 3 hours during yesterday's afternoon and then played 5 hours last night. So I had 8 hours in yesterday.
8 hours. 8 hours.
Yeah, so it's definitely addicted.
Hey, 8 hours at the crick.
Can you tell us, give us the title of your favorite Tom Clancy novel and or movie?
Tom Clancy. I couldn't tell you. There ain't no way I could tell you. Tom Clancy. Nah, couldn't tell you.
What is Cowboy Todd doing on his birthday? By the way, how old are you?
36.
36
and
years old.
I,
man, still young.
Yep.
Young
person. Young.
Is it hunting season yet? I don't even know. How would I know that?
Yeah, what's the hunting season situation right now?
Right now, it's kind of break. We got 2 weeks until turkey season, but it's still coon season, so you can still... we went coon hunting last weekend, but I ain't doing nothing tonight because of the
turkey.
All right, at 36 years of age, how many kids do you have, and how old are they?
By the way,
hold on.
Pretty challenging to hunt a turkey. How hard can it be to shoot a turkey? It's a flightless bird.
You got to find them.
Oh, no, they're definitely hard. You got to call them in. They got good senses. They got good. They'll see. they'll see you quick if you move. That's why you got to get that turkey call on that blind.
Now the coon, hey, give us your best turkey call.
Yeah, let's hear it.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
Turkey.
It's amazing.
Turkey.
He lives for that.
Oh, I can't wait.
Now, hold on. Now, the coon hunting, I think I have this right. You're not hunting raccoons. It's when you use the coon dogs, right?
Correct. Yeah, we're hunting raccoons, but yeah, use the coon dogs to hunt them.
He's hunting raccoons.
Oh, you are hunting raccoons. Why would you hunt a raccoon? What are they good for? Are they tasty?
No, they are definitely not tasty. They're nasty. That's not right now. But it's a sport. You get out and listen to your dogs run, and they just
it's not a sport. If a raccoon had a gun and is shooting back at you, then it's a sport.
No, I can't. I use a pellet gun. I don't use a regular gun. You don't want to kill the coon. Let the coon come down and have a fighting chance against the dog.
Cowboy time again.
I can think of 5 million things I'd rather do.
You turn 36. How old are your kids, all your kids?
Hunter 17. He'll be 17 this year. Uh-huh. Amelia will be 12. Uh-huh. River. Yeah, they're all 5 years apart. So Foot's 5, Strat 12, 7.
I hope you have those 529s fully funded.
And then two. You got a 2-year-old.
What about the one you don't claim?
That's the one.
She would be 4 this year, 5 this year.
Cowboy Todd, happy birthday.
Thanks, fellas.
Enjoy the turkey hunting.
Big 36.
So basically, in a nutshell, the coon hunting, you just injure the raccoon, and then it comes falls out of the tree or whatever, and then the dog mauls it to death. Sounds like a lot of fun.
It's a sport. The sport.
Yeah, I'm sure that's a sport. Are you kidding me?
I'm going to watch Homeland when I come back.
We got to give away these Jay-Z tickets. Homeland, we have a pair of tickets to the second added show of Jay-Z and Beyonce's On the Run 2 tour, July 27th at FedEx Field. Tickets go on sale March 26th. But you can win your way in all week long with 106.7 The Fan. Get more details at thefandc.com/contest. It's courtesy of Live Nation. We're just going to do the 10th caller. 10th caller at 800-636-1067. You'll go see Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Homeland, McMafia,
Cakes,
Walking Dead.
I'm JP. We'll see you tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.